Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Cowboys, Wee-wee. Cardinals, tomorrow, 6 o'clock on this radio station for preseason game number 2. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Sharif, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt with you on DFW Sports Station. We are commercial-free all the way up until 7:55, so no reason to go anywhere else for the next 35 minutes than this radio station. Shout-out to the Tolos. Corey just came by with some official FIFA cups that they were kicking out during the tournament, sleeves of them from Mick Ultra. If you want to stop by and grab a few, you're not allowed to take any home.
Why not?
Can't be that much of a soccer hater and be taking those cups in your house.
That's not a...
That'd be like having a WNBA commemorative cup.
It's similar, but as long as it's like, as long as I can turn the cup away from facing and have a different logo like those, then it's fine.
You got other shout-outs. Fernando just rolled up here as well, because we have an awesome turnout in Cleburne, Firehouse number 1.
Yeah, we had a bunch of different people come by. I said hi to Larry earlier. I know there was Ernesto from Cleburne was up here. It's been a full morning, man. People just come through on their way to work. It's a good summer appearance, even with the kids back in school.
All right, so Cowboys got fined $500,000 for the fights against the Saints. New Orleans got the same thing. Jerry says that they are going to find players involved. You would look directly at Donovan Ezeraku first. So Ezeraku going to be paying out of his pocket. Other team activities. They went bowling in Cali, and it was Brevin Span Ford who put up a 244.
Damn.
Five consecutive strikes to take home the title amongst the team activity with Span Ford out there on the pins.
Do you ever wonder, like, I mean, obviously bowling would not be one of them, but do you ever wonder, like, where the limitations exist for teams on what outings they want them to do contractually because they could get hurt? Like, no. I would think anything where there's, like, those slick floors and different things like that, they'd be worried about somebody just like, y'all are too big, y'all are going to get too competitive, somebody's going to fall, somebody's going to get hurt.
So you would have ruled out bowling?
Not for like maybe Hunter Lipke and Luke Schoonmaker, but for everybody else. I would have let them go.
What about paintball?
Paintball can leave bruises. So I guess it just depends on how badly you bruise. If you bruise really badly, then yeah, we'd need to avoid that. But that's not a small 240. That's a big number.
Yeah. Brian Schottenheimer put up a big number too, because I think it was Nick Harris who asked him for his five biggest surprises or standouts of camp as they're about to leave California, and I just love Shoddy picking up this roster and going through all the names from DallasCowboys.com.
Caleb Downs, special young player. Rashawn Gary's leadership has jumped out at me, and as a player, you guys know that. Tito, I mean, you talk about a guy that we thought we were getting maybe a, you know, run stopper. You know, this guy's a good football player, damn good football player, massive, you know, really strong with his hands. Very proud of Vaughn. I'm just going to keep ripping names. You asked for five, but I'm answering. So I'm answering, yeah. Vaughn Rebel, yep. Jonathan Mingo, Camden Brown, Tyler Guyton, Javonte Williams, Ryan Flournoy, Brian Anger, however old he is. He just hit a couple 75-yard punts. But it's been a great camp, Nick. It really has. And you know, there's been a ton of guys that have stood out, and very, very pleased with how the camp's gone.
He has thrown me off a little bit now with his names. When he said Vaughn, at first I was like, he's already thrown Vaughn Miller out there. And then it's like, oh.
Proud of Vaughn.
He goes, Siobhan. I was like, okay, Savone.
Right.
But okay, all right, that's who's
and Ryan then Ryan Flournoy.
I'm still not sure. Maybe I misheard it. I don't know who he was talking about with the third one.
Who is that the big lineman?
Did he say Tito?
Toya.
Oh, Toya. I thought he said Tito.
Tito.
He did say Tito. I don't know if he knows how to pronounce Toya either.
Is Tito J. Toya?
Play it again, Peyton. What was it?
Tito.
Tio or Tito? I have no idea. I don't know who he's talking about.
Here's the list.
Unless I'm blanking.
Nick tweeted out Downs, Gary, Otito.
Oh, Otito Obando. Okay, that's who he's talking about. Because that was the he left the O off. I'm like sitting here going, like, who the hell is Tito on this roster?
Any of those names surprise you or just make you feel like really good that he I love that he said Downs special player. So for any doubts and questions, like kind of right now, I'm like, okay, he's proving it. He not only talked about, you know, everyone's talking about Camden Brown. Schottenheimer earlier in the presser was like, guys, Jonathan Mingo's having a hell of a camp. And I was like, ooh, okay. I mean, Mingo, he's going to cite there. He also went out of his way to cite Valdez Scantling. Shows you how much respect the Cleveland Firefighters have for these other receivers. I bet they'd be dead quiet for Camden Brown talk. But he cited MVS for special teams. And I was like, he kept talking.
That's all you could cite him for, because it's not catching the football.
Yes. So Mingo, MVS, he cited with that Camden Brown battle.
Which he mentioned Brown there just very briefly. He threw his name in there after Mingo.
Yeah.
It was almost like he said Mingo, and he's like, uh-oh, can't tip the battle. And then he remembered to put Camden Brown
and
in
then,
there.
Dude, I saw a couple more Ryan Flannoy clips yesterday, and I'm like, damn, this dude looks legit.
He's good. He's a good player. I've got thoughts of this. Before I get in, I'm curious if this was, let's say this was you at the station. Let's say you were at a...
At the fire station, the radio station?
The radio station. You're at a, let's say you're at a Barrett Sports Media Summit, and Jason Barrett says, you guys got a lot of people up there. Who would you like to single out as guys you think have performed really well this year? I'm sure that when you're about to list people, do you think when you'd list it off, you'd go, I'm going to list who's the best, or do you think you'd be going like, I'm going to list the guys that I want to give them something.
Medford.
Here. Like yeah, you want to, like, you're
prop
honestly,
them up.
You're trying to, like, yeah, you're going, like, here, let me give this. So some of those, when you hear them, I'm like,
because
okay.
He didn't say GP. Now, was it five guys that have exceeded his expectations? That was the qualifier.
Downs exceeding his expectations,
it's good.
That's great if he means it. And I've not known him to be super hyperbolic before.
Yeah.
Because they had huge expectations for him. Everybody else in here, pretty much, I think you can justify, okay, that there was a question. Like, I definitely think when he mentions Guyton, he's trying to prop Guyton up. He's appreciative of what Guyton's been doing. Like, he realized, I think in the middle of when he goes, you know what, I'll list off some more. I think he realized this is an opportunity to go, okay, let me give some guys who need this, let me give it to him real quick. And so, I mean, the fact that he throws Brian Anger in there is kind of funny. If he's deserving of it, 100%. But it's just, it's funny to me that, like, he gets down to the end of it. It's like, oh, okay, you're trying to hand out awards to, like, every position group, basically.
You want to preview the Cardinals first or Charles Robinson's camp observations, who everyone at the station respects?
We can talk about the Cardinals real fast, just some of the guys to look out for, because obviously I think everybody knows where these position battles stand right now. People know how serious they're going to treat the preseason, how much they're going to be.
Bro, are you guys going to go to the accident? Go to the scene.
It's on fire. This is the. We know we're not going to see Dak. We know we're not going to see Pickens. We're not going to get anything like substantial out of that. So the guys that I think are important to watch coming up, I'd say the biggest number one, and it depends on what kind of availability he has.
I can't hear you.
It depends on what kind of availability he has. I'd say that the biggest one is probably Jaden Blue. He's obviously been banged up with the shoulder. But Blue's got the most to earn or lose, I think, relative towards actual playing time, not just roster spot. It does sound like Joe Milton is going to be the one starting at quarterback in this game, so they are going to flip that. And now it's a question of, like,
Milton's
going
to start?
It sounds like Milton's going to start. Is that indicative of something where they're rewarding Milton? Or are they taking turns and trying to completely even it out? You don't know. But, I mean, I think that...
I would think taking turns.
I think that's what it is, because I would imagine they're still going to do the same playing time split. So if that's the case, then it was probably a thought in their mind the whole time of just game one of you starts, game two, another one of you starts. And so I think that I think the quarterbacks are going to be big. It's a big thing for Milton that he gets that. Clearly, the thing we got to watch for now, especially after you play that Brian Schottenheimer clip, is there still is a question about Camden Brown versus Jonathan Mingo. Like, which one do they want to settle for is likely the final receiver. I don't know that they'll carry six receivers.
Did the Mingo Valdez Scantling answers affect you at all? Change your mind?
I don't know why they would shout out Valdez Scantling.
You said special teams.
No, I know, but I'm saying I don't know why they would shout him out if they were planning on just, like, pushing him out. So that does make me, like, why is he doing that?
Because our special teams are a concern.
Yeah, and look, maybe some people look at it and go, MVS is a veteran, and he's a veteran who's, you know, able to do some special team stuff. That's all very valuable and stuff that we respect in a veteran. So it could be that they're trying to keep him engaged in this battle. But, no, I think the big thing to watch when you see the Cardinals game is obviously going to be quarterbacks, receivers, running backs. Those skill position players and where the depth chart is fighting are pretty significant. And I'll be interested to see if they feel like they've seen enough from Savone Revel yet to just say, all right, shut him down. Or if they're going to look at him and go, let's get him some more reps. Let's keep him more engaged. The guy that this is another big one for on the defensive side, the Camden Brown of the defense, is Julius Wood. Because Julius Wood keeps getting opportunities, and he's had two great training camps. And
he ran some of the ones yesterday?
Yeah, he got some reps with the ones. You can play yourself out of a spot. Like, these games can take you out. And so
I do like, and it's an age-old question, if Camden Brown didn't shine at camp the way he did, let's say he Flannoy has, I guess Mingo has, but Schottenheimer basically said, I'm happy it means more that he's making the plays in practice than the games. And I like that. It's like, who's the linebacker with the three picks?
Justin Barron.
Right. If Justin Barron did that against Seattle and we didn't notice him at all in Oxnard, I would think that the Oxnard part of it, I'm not saying Barron has been bad when we haven't been there.
Yeah.
But I would think that the Oxnard part of it would win out over three picks against Seattle, whereas fans might be like, hey, look at what he did in the game.
There was a I remember Daniel Wise was a defensive tackle they brought in from Kansas as an undrafted free agent, and he had in the final preseason game, I think he had two sacks and a bunch of pressures, and he was a guy they liked. Like, that was somebody who a lot of people thought was going to be drafted. He just didn't because of some medical questions. But when it got to the end of it, he still got cut the next day. And I remember I'd asked somebody, I was like, why no Wise? Like, that was big upside guy and showed up in the final moment, and they're like, didn't show up enough in the other moments for 4 weeks. Like, that's what matters to us. You got to show up and show that you're a consistent player out here.
I wonder if it's maybe special exception rule for a returner.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
like, are you simulating the return game? Can you simulate it as much in practice as all the other guys get for their simulations, and then, you know, game where people are sticking each other?
Yeah, because, I mean, I know they think of running backs similarly, where they're like, you really, like, somebody told me, they
and
said.
And Trayshon got cut for the game.
Yeah, somebody told me 80% of running back.
Or in part for the game.
80% of running back evaluation from training camp has to be done in games. Because they said, we can see a lot of stuff, but you really cannot know with running backs. That's their evaluation's the toughest to get just from practice. So, returner, I mean, similar, you're going to see a lot of stuff. Contact balance, vision, different things like that. So, I mean, that absolutely can be one that's more difficult to measure, I would imagine.
Before we shut down California, again, Cowboys-Cardinals pregame, 6 o'clock tomorrow. Pepe, double-check me. I would imagine Rangers gets moved on over to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Charles Robinson was out there when we were out there, formerly of Yahoo.
Yeah, the great Charles Robinson, friend of the show, friend of the station. And he is he's no longer with Yahoo. He's got his own independent thing that he's doing now on Substack. And so when he started that up, I was like, okay, I got to go subscribe to this because he's always got really good notes. And he's doing a training camp tour right now where then he's sharing some of the thoughts and perspective he has based on what he saw when he was out there visiting. And his stuff from Cowboys camp, I don't know that there's a ton earth-shattering about it, but there's a lot that I think cumulatively, when you look at it, is really interesting with some of his takeaways, especially given how I know people within the Cowboys respect him and like talking with him and giving him some insight. One of the things he said in here was, he said, when I arrived to Cowboys camp, I wasn't sure how realistic a Dak Prescott MVP campaign could be. By the time I left, I realized this might be the most legitimate shot to date. Prescott is still in his prime. He's in a rhythm with Brian Schottenheimer, and he's operating with arguably the two best wideout tandem in the league in CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. What gives Prescott an added edge is that Lamb and Pickens have the complementary styles that can wreck opposing coverage in completely different ways. And I heard you on the Drake Toll Show this morning saying that, because I heard him pressing you for Dak Prescott love. And you said, though, that you thought your anticipation is he's still going to, in all likelihood, play at or near MVP level this season. And that's the biggest thing with him is always just the health. But it is that game has slowed down, answers to the test kind of era for Dak, yeah. It feels like.
Romo, I know your cheap shot is coming, but Romo at the end locked in. I feel like Dak, I mean, maybe he's there a little bit earlier than Tony was.
He's 33 now. What year was, I think, Romo's big year with DeMarco, that year where DeMarco handled, like, the big part of the – I think Romo was 34, so it's around there. It's right around the same time. Some of the other stuff, the big one that is probably the biggest note, I think, to come out of this one is him talking about George Pickens, which he had said that he always thought that how could you do something like this? How could you pay somebody like George Pickens with some of the questions that are out there and exist with him? And he said he's come away from it and said, I think he's, like – if I'm the Cowboys, I have to pay him. I have to lock him in here. And they're starting to be – I saw Brian Broaddus yesterday was doing the – is George Pickens better than CeeDee Lamb? He's coming around to the RJ Choppy take. Vach Lombardi, who's with – Vach was like, I don't know. He's like, I'm not sure. Like, everybody's going to ask the question now. I think people are forgetting how good CeeDee Lamb
and
is.
And George was out there yesterday saying, yeah, against the Saints, I noticed immediate double coverage and – I was listening to the –
Yeah, I'm awesome.
Yeah, I'm awesome. They got to double me first over Lamb. he didn't say that, obviously, but I thought that in the back of my mind. I'm like, what if in the first quarter or the first half, George gets more double coverage? One, in terms of what that does with his frustration level. That's what I'm doing if I'm a D coordinator to try to frustrate him and make him quit. A la the Lions game, but I just wonder, like, you know, someone did tell me in Oxnard, and I'm not making this a big deal, but someone did tell me, yes, they're boys, yes, they're friends, but, you know, CD is a little competitive with it too.
Yeah.
And I probably would be as well, you know?
Yeah.
If Drake Toll asked RJ to come on before me, I'd be upset. If Choppy got a letter of proclamation before me at 6:40 with the mayor, I'd be upset.
If Dan Patrick had RJ on before you,
and I was upset. And I just wonder if I'm Lamb and they're giving that attention to George with double coverage more than me, how does that play?
So
now he might be like, I'm going to eat. My numbers go up.
I remember this is, if you look at the 92 Cowboys when they won that first Super Bowl in the Jerry era, they were so deep. And I mean, like, guys who would become stars who were really, really young at the time, and guys who were, like, supplanting veterans who were still decent players who had reputations. And I've asked various guys off that team whenever I've done interviews for Cowboys Crosstalk or anything like that. I've said, like, how did you guys battle against that? Like, being competitive and having all this talent here while not becoming bitter at each other for it. And all of them have said, well, you don't. Like, there's moments where you do get bitter about it, and you're like, he's not as good as me. Like you do get frustrated.
Yeah.
And he's like, but at the end of the day, like, when it's time to go play football, it's like, these are my brothers, and these are the guys I've fought alongside, and I know how he's practiced, I know how I've practiced, I know how we've pushed each other. And so I think it is one of those things where it's natural. I'd be maybe a little worried if there wasn't any sort of competitive feel from either of them about it. Because we love G Bag. We wanna talk about how much better we are giving away merch than G Bag though. And it's a competitive thing, and I think it's a healthy, friendly competition. And that competition at the NFL level can sometimes be a little bit sour at times. But one of the things he writes about here, Charles Robinson, where he says, I think you got to figure out a way to keep these two. He said he isn't a complimentary piece talking about Pickens. He's a foundational talent. But he says, so what does the money end up looking like if this continues? The presumption has been a four-year deal in the $35 million a season range. That would be higher than CD. Similar to the one signed by Baltimore Ravens wideout Zay Flowers. We'll see if that's the case by the end of the season. A second franchise tag is coming in at $32.75, but I'm not sure Pickens would want to play a second straight season on the tag. Dallas can't negotiate with Pickens again until after the season. I still believe the Cowboys have the leverage of being the team willing to pay Pickens without the reservations others might have. The staff at least knows him, whereas other teams are still going to be leery about Pickens being the guy the Pittsburgh Steelers wanted out of the building. And you brought that up before. As much as it's just like when Choppy's like, what's the big problem? Who cares? Why would anybody have a problem with George Pickens? A year ago, his reputation was like considered top three most toxic in the NFL.
Easy.
And now it's something where it's just so easy to forget about it for a lot of people. It's like those teams don't forget about it that easy. They remember what they thought of you for the last 4 years before you went out there and did that for Dallas. I think one of the other interesting notes here from Charles Robinson is that he talked about how important the multiplicity is of the defense, how versatile the defense is going to be. And we had talked about that in the acquisitions they made where it's like, man, they seem like they got like 12 guys who can play right now because they were so bad last year and they didn't necessarily have enough resources to just get a good, like, substantial amount of depth. Was it's those 12 are supposed to function like 18 because they all are supposed to do different things. Barham can rush. Barham can play linebacker. P.J. Locke can play strong. P.J. Locke can play up in the box. He can play some nickel if you need him to. Thompson, nickel, and stuff. All these different flexible pieces and the way that you can change things and shift things and mess with people's eyes and cause just teams to panic at the last second with some of your shifts and change their responsibilities. That's a big focus of it. And that was the thing that stood out to him specifically was how he thought Downs and Barham were two guys who were going to contribute in a big way to making this defense multiple.
You are not going to get better Cowboys coverage than that or a bigger football breakfast sandwich to start off your Friday. Keep it in mind when you're looking around for your Cowboys coverage throughout the season. No reason to go anywhere else, especially when you have no commercials, as we are in the expressway with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. I'm Sean Treif. Oh, and I guess Cowboys coverage is also going to continue in the junk drawer.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
And unfortunately, that has proven to be correct. Now, tomorrow is just a preseason game, which we'll preview in just a second. But we bring in Nick Eatman right now. Pretty lively practice yesterday, wasn't it, Nick?
Yeah, it definitely was. It was, the last one of Oxnard, really. There's a walkthrough today, but that was like the last one. And but it felt like it was super long, mainly because it was the hottest one of training camp so far. Not to, complain to you guys out there, but it was long, but, productive. And, I think that this team's ready to get home. I'm always curious about this last game. This last game right after training camp, you don't always see the team play its best. And I've seen them, flat performance before, even in Arizona. So I kind of wonder what you're going to get tomorrow.
Schottenheimer, like two or three times in the presser yesterday, had to stress camp's not over. And I was getting the feeling that he was having to, guide some people emotionally, like, we're going to be back soon. Like, we're going to be back home, but we still have to go to Arizona first. So that kind of reminded me of that as you said that. He also went through his list of surprises so far in camp. Who jumped out or who exceeded expectations? Who jumped out to you amongst that list, if anybody?
Well, I mean, I think for me, when I look at who this team, who has played really well and kind of exceeded expectations, it starts, there's always a couple, but it starts with Camden Brown just because of how he, how he's been able to perform with this receiver group. These receivers, we're going to come up with a list here on our website on the top players of training camp, voted on by the people that's been out here. And it's, it starts with the receivers. Receivers have been great. But Camden Brown's a guy that's been able to work his way into the reps and taking the stuff from a good offseason to a really good training camp and then taking him to the game. So that's been the main guy for me that's come out and really done well. But your offensive linemen too, in the middle, the BBs and Tyler Smith and Tyler Booker, those guys right there, you expect them to be really good, but I think that they have taken it to another level.
Nick Shoddy, I raised an eyebrow or took note. He really highlighted Mingo's camp, and he talked about MVS in terms of special teams. Did either of those comments make you hesitate in automatically putting Camden Brown above them?
Well, I think that there's some politics going on at this point, you know, with who's doing well and also trying to see how this roster is going to get shake out. Like, I'm not talking about them specifically, but I will tell you that there are some guys on this team. I think the roster is good enough where there are some guys that are probably gonna get traded to other teams. I'm not saying necessarily those two. I just mean you've got some veteran guys. You've got some spots. Too many players for the spots that are here, and I think you're gonna see some guys getting traded. So I think there's going to be a lot of players kind of getting talked up. I just don't see when I'm going back to receiver, I don't see where the fit would be for veteran guys like that are going to be maybe playing special teams. I mean, Camden Brown's on the team. I mean, I don't know how you can say that he's not. I don't know how you can try to figure out if those other two guys have a spot, then they're going to keep seven then because he's on the team. You just can't bring a guy like that onto your roster and him do so many things and then try to think you're going to get him on a practice squad or stuff like that. So he's on the team. I don't see a spot for MVS. I just don't see where that makes sense. Mingo is, to me, battling right now, and maybe there's a shot, but I don't think there's a shot for both of those veterans.
Nick Eatman, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly.
Nick, why is Camden Brown not Andy Jones, John Vea Johnson, or Trayshon Holden, any one of these receivers who have blown people in the past? Why do you think he's different?
I think he's different because he's checking the boxes on a lot of things that you want for a receiver. Number one, can he catch the ball and make the play? I mean, maybe that isn't number one, but that's the one number one that we've seen out here. Can you go make a play? Those two touchdowns were not good passes. They weren't plays that are just always the quarterback put it right in his hands. He had to go fight for it. He had to go make the play. One of them, here he was battling two defenders, wasn't even a great pass by Sam Howell. He fought and made the play. The other one was just one-handed snag in the back of the end zone. He's got good speed. He's just a level of awareness at that position that he's taking it to another level. I mean, I love the fact that he's done it out of camp. He went to the game. He did it at the game. He came back this week and has had another really good week of practice. So it seems like every single time there's a moment, he's kind of excelled. So I just, and when you name some other receivers, right, that have done it, they've done well and they've, you know, either made the team or made the practice squad, stuff like that. But, you know, I think when you're looking at a guy, 6'2", 209, runs a 4.59, you know, he's just got all the tools. And so he's done it enough where he's going to make the team. Is he a guy that's inactive every week, or does he play special teams? And that's going to be up to him.
Nick Eatman with us here on 105 Through the Fan. So they've got the game coming up this weekend. What are you looking for to come out of this one? And specifically, we know about these roster battles that we've talked about. Do you think there's anybody that's competing for a starting spot, or is there anything we haven't discussed on that front that could be up for grabs in these last couple weeks?
Well, you wonder. I think that there's starting spots that are sort of still up for grabs. I don't know if it's between players that are on the roster. You know, I think that, and specifically the one that comes to mind would be the offensive tackle position. Like, I think that Nate Thomas is going to battle some, and you know, if Terrence Steele isn't the guy that they're going to, you know, start at right tackle. I would imagine it's somebody that's not on the team. But I will see if Terrence Steele even plays or Nate Thomas. I think Nate Thomas can play and play well and maybe get into that mix. But as far as starting positions go, I don't really see that. I don't see that there's a real battle between spots. I'm trying to go to, I'm going through the depth chart in my head right now. Like looking around, like, what do you think? Is there a spot for you? Because I can't figure it out.
I mean, I'm fascinated by what you're saying about the tackles right now. Because focusing on that just for a sec. Do you think they have like a real level of concern there? Like is that? Do you think that's rise? Do you think it is a legitimate concern they have at tackle now?
I think that they do. I believe that. I believe they have a concern there. Now, you know, the one thing that I think is different about this team, and this is what I was thinking about this just yesterday, like walking around, getting ready to pack things up. I was like, you hear it all the time. What's different? Why does it feel different? It just feels different, and it does. And the Cowboys have done a lot of things. I think one reason that it feels different is that every spot on their roster, their starting spot, even before, it was like, well, you can't have it all, right? You can't have everything. You know, some spots are just good. They're just solid. There is what it is. I think the Cowboys are trying to fix everything, and that's what, and they're even going to the outside to do that. So if they feel like they need help, you know, pass rush, then they're going to go and make a move. If linebacker was kind of thin, well, then they're going to go and get D winners there during the draft. And so,
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Neighborhood Watch with all your local stories at 7:40 every Thursday as we are commercial free, as Pepe said. Sean Sharif, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, Choppy back next week. Cleburne Firehouse tomorrow as the Firehouse tour continues with giveaways and breakfast. More on that in about 20 minutes. But I wanted to go ahead and cook up a little Cowboys overreaction or not, true, false, however the hell you want to answer it, for Bobby and the Tolos on the Franklin Franco fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. And we will start off with QB2. Joe Milton has done enough to pass Sam Howell. True, false, overreaction, or not?
Ooh, is this for me or the reality of it?
The reality of it.
The reality of it? No, he has not. He's done enough to...
Yeah, move on.
Probably put himself a little bit ahead and has done enough to earn more reps than he was getting in the breakdown earlier, but... I still think they really like just the consistency of what Sam Howell does. And like I said, when we went back and watched it, when we did post-HUD on Tuesday, it was that performance from Howell was better than it initially looked. Like, I thought it was closer because he did have to adjust to some things with pressure that Milton didn't have to deal with. So, no, I think it's...
Who are you crediting more for their touchdown pass to Camden Brown?
Camden Brown on both of them.
No, but the quarter, you're not. That's what I'm saying. You kind of have to take away.
The closest.
You can't give.
Howell, probably.
Yeah.
Because Milton's was, I mean, it took an acrobatic catch. With Howell's, I could at least see them saying, like, I'm just giving him a chance to go get it. So that one is probably a little bit more Howell. But I mean, on both of them, I do think it was Brown, but probably Howell a little bit more.
Camden Brown has done enough to pass Jonathan Mingo.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think so. And that's one of the things where I think he's ahead of Mingo right now. It's just the question, and it may be one of the good litmus tests for where they're at right now in terms of their true evolution as an organization, in terms of how they let decisions be made, what kind of input Brian Schottenheimer has and everything else, is the idea of, are you going to be able to comfortably say, I don't care that we gave up a fourth-round pick for him a couple years ago? Like, he's not as good as the undrafted free agent. Because occasionally, you'll get a team that says, you know what, as good as he's been, most of the time your guys don't get claimed off of waivers when they get cut. We can sneak Camden Brown to the practice squad. Nobody drafted him back in April. We're going to protect ourselves here. Mingo, we'll be able to have. Then we'll stash him after a day or something like that. You may see some sort of setup like that. But overall, I think it's really impossible to justify not putting Camden Brown on the roster if everything ended today.
Jaden Blue is officially out of RB2.
Yeah, probably. Like, I mean, from the Cowboys' perspective, probably. There's always something could change. Something could shift in terms of he could all of a sudden start playing out of his mind and Malik Davis could have three fumbles at practice or something. But barring just a seismic, catastrophic shift from both Malik Davis and Jaden Blue, yeah, he's probably out of this.
Michael Trigg has passed Schoon or will pass him.
That's the situation I have.
God, my questions are great.
The least handle on today. Like, as of now, because I was on with Fan After Dark a couple days ago.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of important. And they had asked about, I'm trying to remember what it was, Kalen Carson, Luke Schoonmaker.
Drake Toll didn't ask you on.
No, he didn't.
Jacoby Durant?
Jacoby Durant, yeah. No, it was Schoonmaker, Carson, and then I cannot remember who the other one was, but Blake had said, like, which one of them or all of them, whatever else, who's not going to be on the roster? And I said, right now, I think all of them are on. The one I feel the least good about is Schoonmaker. That's just the one that I can't tell how much they're potentially just protecting him or trying to find stuff out about Trigg. Like, I haven't gotten a lot of clarity on that. They like Trigg a lot. They have consistently put undrafted free agent tight ends on the roster. It's where they spend a lot of their bonus money. And he was a guy who was drafted, like, he was a guy who could have been drafted if not for some off-the-field stuff. So I think Trigg could make the 53, but I would still think it would be with Schoonmaker. But I honestly just don't have a great handle on where they're at with Schoon.
Cowboys, overreactions or not, want to hear from you as well. Franklin Franco fan text at 877-881-1053.
Although I will say, when we sat down with Lunda Wells, the tight ends coach in Indianapolis, he kept talking positively about Schoonmaker as like, man, you saw some growth last year. And I know they did feel like he stepped up last year and improved.
Did he even play against Seattle?
No.
Okay. I was like, I didn't notice. I never notice him. Caleb Downs is going to be the Cowboys version of Ronnie Lott, as Adam Schefter suggested.
All of a sudden, Caleb Downs looks like he could impact that team. I may be getting ahead of myself here, but he looks like he has the chance to impact the Cowboys' defense, in my mind, the way that Ronnie Lott once impacted the 49ers' defense when they drafted him. And that was a year when the 49ers, let's see how good my memory is here, they were woeful on defense, and in particular, the secondary. And in one draft, they selected Ronnie Lott. I do believe that Caleb Downs can have that type of impact on the Cowboys' defense. And we'll see whether Malachi Lawrence is a player, but Von Miller is going to provide some pass rush. Jalen Thompson. Like, I think the Dallas defense really improved.
I'm glad he said impact, because I was about to lose my mind if he was going to try to compare Ronnie Lott and Caleb Downs. Like, it's the same skill set. It's the same play. Because they're not the same. In terms of impact, if he has the impact on them that Ronnie Lott did as a rookie, then this team is contending for the Super Bowl, because you've got San Francisco went to the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl Ronnie Lott's rookie year. Ronnie Lott had 7 interceptions that season. Ronnie Lott scored 3 touchdowns his rookie year. Like,
dang,
if he does what Ronnie Lott did, we're all dancing in the streets. And I don't just mean over the course of his career, but even just the rookie year. I don't think he's going to have that sort of splash play season, but I think he's going to have he's going to be the biggest impact on defense of anybody they acquired.
The Chicago Bears have more of a chance to be Gaudy than the Cowboys. Ben Johnson setting the bar high himself. From The Athletic, you've got 31 other teams coming to training camp saying our goal is to win the Super Bowl. I want more than that. I want to have the highest scoring offense ever, which happens to be the 2013 Broncos. I know how many points per game they scored. How many, Bobby?
They would have been like 34?
38. And I want to surpass them. I want shutouts. I want blowouts. Ben Johnson talking big like Dak. Chicago finished 6th in the NFL last year in total offense, 9th in scoring offense. So he said it's just a matter of time before Caleb unlocks the full potential
they have a better chance to be Gaddy than the Cowboys offense?
No. No, they don't. Look, Ben Johnson had a great first year, way better than I would have thought he was. He's so far proving me wrong in that I did not anticipate he was going to be a good NFL head coach. Not because he wasn't a good play caller or anything else, but can be a, like this, can be a little petty and, you know, is so offensive focused that I wondered about his ability to just lead an entire locker room. But he is, there is a little bit of a thought that I've, I know I've heard this before from people who wonder sometimes about talking big in the NFL. Like I've talked to people who work in the NFL who will mention this. The idea that, do you, when you're talking like this about, I want to be the highest scoring offense in the NFL, obviously that's going to lead to a lot of victories, but it also, people will question like, all right, but are you taking away from the focus of just like winning ball games and doing whatever it takes to win if like you're actively saying that your standard or your goal is about what one side of the ball does or how you perform in this aspect rather than just saying win ball games, which may be a little bit of football guy kind of thinking to just be like, it should all be about winning because scoring points leads to winning. But I don't think that there's enough solidified and answered about the guys that the Bears have on their roster on offense that I'm just like, yeah, those are slam dunk guys I can count on every single week.
Pepe, what are the Tolos answering the most on the fan text with Cowboy, true or false?
512, Camden Brown is getting snagged by a team if he's cut here. 214 also says, please move on from Hunter Lipke. 814, Mingo is just terrible. 469, Joe is better than Sam. 214, Caleb Williams is not that good. Just not happening.
Gum, K Gum on Twitter says, Mingo is wide receiver 5. Brown will be wide receiver. It said, sounds like camp overreactions from Bobby this morning. Mingo is wide receiver 5. Brown will be wide receiver 6. No one has done anything to take the RB2 job away from Jaden Blue. Every summer, Cowboys coverage falls in love with an undrafted wide receiver. Yes, that is true. And let me speak on this Jaden Blue thing here for just a second. A couple of weeks ago, I expressed surprise that Nick Harris and others were questioning Jaden Blue as RB2 when I was telling Nick Eatman, hey, we were out there. He was the only one. He was ripping off 40 and 50-yard plays off of screens or these bursts. So I expressed surprise over it. Our job, guys, is not to be a Texas Longhorn Jaden Blue cheerleader for you. We're going to sit there and tell you what we're hearing, what we're thinking, and there's been enough people, there were enough people questioning Jaden Blue as RB2 to where now it feels like a reality. He's not going to be it. So just take it as a lesson, Gum, and whatever other Longhorn homer there is, that we're just telling you what we're hearing. And it looks like he roots for LSU. But people are starting to wonder, people are starting to question, and now it feels like Jaden's definitely not having that spot. So it seems like it's coming to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, it's look, I understand people see highlights or people like certain things. And I mean,
this is a poor man's version of Travion Henderson. So you know this in fantasy very well if you had him. Travion Henderson was the big play maker out of that New England backfield. You don't want to end up with freaking Ramondre Stevenson, do you, Pepe? Grinding out. Okay, who's going to get the goal line touches? Who else are they going to plug in there? And then Travion breaks one off for 65. Why the heck is Travion not getting all the touches from Mike Vrabel? Well, there was something with the doghouse there. So, yes, Jaden's ripping off those plays in training camp. Travion was even doing it in some regular season games, but he still wasn't the go-to that Vrabel trusted. That's kind of my poor man's analogy because Travion's actually done it on an NFL regular season field.
I mean, we've had this issue before, or not this issue, but we've had these sort of debates that come up before. I remember there being certainty from people. There's no way in hell Dennis Houston is going to be above Jalen Tolbert come week one when they're both rookies. One's a third-round pick, one's an undrafted free agent. Well, Dennis Houston was active. Dennis Houston went out there and played. Jalen Tolbert was inactive that day. Like, they don't. NFL teams don't care a lot of the time about prestige or where you were or whatever else. They want to win the game. And if they say Jonathan Mingo hasn't done enough, or even if Jonathan Mingo's been okay, Camden Brown's been better. And when Brad Sham's on the postgame show saying, if you don't have Camden Brown on your roster, it sounds like you're going to have to explain that to your quarterback. That stuff matters. So I'm not saying it couldn't. You could end up being right, or things could shift and those sort of things. And neither one of those things could be true. I'm telling you right now, that's where it's at on those two things.
Micah Parsons gives his prediction for the NFC East this year.
This is probably the hardest division to kind of scale because you don't know what you're getting now. I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles as number one. I know. How can someone say, how can he put Philadelphia Eagles at number one? I just think that they have the best team. They added a new OC, but that team is scary. Besides Tennessee, who has a better interior duo than Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter? And we see those win games. And then the corner duo between Mitchell and DeJean. Can they establish a run game with the new OC? Can 2K say be back? If that happens, I will put Philadelphia as number one. At number two, we will go to Dallas Cowboys. I think Dallas Cowboys, they showed us something when they beat the Philadelphia Eagles in that second matchup last year. They said, hey, we're going to attack Quinyon Mitchell. We're going to attack Cooper DeJean. We have the best two-man guys, and they showed that George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb had big games. Can they limit them? Can those two corners limit the Dallas Cowboys? I don't know. We'll see. And number three, I think this is going to be the hard one, but the Washington Commanders, they proved it. They went to the NFC Championship. They added talent. I think this team can be the real deal. I don't know if they can handle the haymakers like the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, but time will tell. And number four, I get Harbaugh. I get New York. They got Brian Burns. They got Abdul Carter. They have Javon Holland. They have all these guys. Andrew Thomas, Cam, Jackson Dart, OBJ, Malik Neighbors. I get it. We haven't seen New York prove it. They haven't made playoffs. Next year, can the New York Giants raise up? 100%. But for right now, these are the four.
What?
Bleacher Report, by the way.
Who was that? That was Micah?
That was Micah.
I've
to do your voice.
I've never, I'm just doing an impression of how his voice has changed. I've never ever heard him go, number two, I know, the Dallas Cow. He's never spoke, he got some media coach in this offseason, like right change now, his delivery or something.
He wasn't set up like in his podcast lair, you know, like it looks like he's at some public place with maybe stools in the back.
He's doing ASMR.
Maybe that was the reason why.
Yeah.
So that's Micah going with the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Commanders, and then the Giants.
Which is not like, I mean, a lot of people are picking Dallas to win right now. It's not an insane overreaction. I do like that he's defaulting to, I know, y'all are going to say, how can you pick Philly? Like, is he assuming that because he thinks people watching are still like, come on, you're a Cowboy, man. It's like, he does not play for them anymore. I'd be like, come on, you're picking Philly if you were doing the NFC East rankings and you played here still. But, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily expect him to pick the Cowboys.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Let's reach out here to Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. Talk some Cowboys football here with you. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm going good. What's going on?
Man, just you tell us, incredible video coming from practice yesterday. How would you describe the chaos and the consistency there of the play spilling over?
Well, Calvin, be sure you tell me you're a boxing aficionado, so you graded all the fighting action, right? You get it all broken down with the boxing
down.
Eye. Yeah.
The best part of it's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun watching it. I was in the other field, the field with the bleachers, and I looked on the other field. I guess just field one, I guess, and I saw a helmet high in the sky. And I said, what is going on over there? And Joe Hoyt, who you know covers the team with me, I'm like, he was on that field. So I was like, what are they doing over there? And then, you know, on the field I was on, Chase Young, he was talking smack to, like, anybody who got near him. Joe Milton had threw this deep ball, like, 40 yards down the field. And Chase Young wasn't even involved in the play because he's with the second unit was out there. So Chase Young is just standing there, and I'm behind him, and he's like, Dak Prescott can't throw that far. I'm like, oh, my God, what are we doing here, boys and girls? So it was a wild day. But at the end of it, everybody was shaking hands, and it's all good. So a lot of fights, I think somebody's gonna get fined, and the league. Ooh. The league, I was told today, the league can fine players and coaches if there's conduct that's inappropriate. And so you had Kalen Carson throwing a punch, Donovan Zaraku threw a punch, Scott Steiner's son body slammed Jalen Thompson.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of other things. I just saw this video of Alvin Kamara when he got hurt. Demario Overshawn stopped him, right? But then somebody else crashed into him. And I couldn't tell which Cowboys player that was. So, and then he left after he got hurt on that play. And another Saints player got hurt as a result of a fight. So somebody's going to lose some money here in the next couple of days.
Calvin, one more question about this. Is this something where maybe both coaches not on the same page on how to practice? That the Saints are a tackle team, the Cowboys are a tackle but don't take to the ground team. Do we cross signals on how one team practices and the other one doesn't?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I definitely would agree with that, because as I was watching the practice, I was noticing, man, the Saints sure tackling the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and that upset the Cowboys. I had asked Brian Schottenheimer that after the practice. And he said, look, it's what it is. And then I noticed the Cowboys started tackling guys to the ground.
Yeah.
The Saints came with an edge yesterday. It was as if this was their first practice of the whole summer. So they definitely came with an edge for whatever reason. And I think it caught the Cowboys off guard a little bit. And then the Cowboys picked things up. And then that's when all hell broke loose.
Now, would you still fancy your chances if that chaos spilled onto the sidelines like you did back in the day with Jay Ratliff?
I'm a little too old for that right now, boys. I don't know if I can do that right now. I might say, you're right, I was wrong. Yes, sir. No, sir.
That's not the Calvin I know and love.
There's no way in hell that's happening, Calvin.
You'd have something for
him. You're dropping your reporter's notebook and hitting somebody.
Hell yeah, you are.
Hey, getting softer as I get older.
The Donovan Ezeraku stuff and Shoddy saying, hey, we're going to have a talk with him. I know CP talked to you guys earlier today. Has there been any feedback on what they're doing with Ezeraku? Is this a legitimate concern bleeding into the season?
Well, this is the second time that this has occurred with him. It's funny because Shoddy likes to say Ezeraku runs hot, right? And in some ways, he's replacing Sam Williams. Because Sam Williams was the guy that would always do something crazy, you know, like hit someone late, throw a punch where he's not supposed to, you know, twist someone's helmet off, you know, one of his teammates or something like that. And that is Rocco is starting to do this now. And he doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He's very level-headed, very nice kid, those kinds of things. But I guess when you put the pads on, something comes out of him. But, you know, this is the second conversation they've had with him. And I guess the first conversation didn't work, right? So maybe you got to take his money away. Maybe that will work, you know. But there's got to be a point in time as a player. It's not about what the coaches or the front office says to you. It's about you looking in the mirror and saying, you know what? I'm hurting my team by throwing a punch. Because when I throw a punch, I'm gone. So I need to control my behavior on the field. So it's up to him. There's only so much Brian Schottenheimer and Christian Parker can do.
Calvin Watkins here with you in the nation from the Dallas Morning News. Are you still out in Oxnard?
I'm in Malibu right now. I went to have a lovely lunch, and so I'm doing my thing today.
Very nice.
Neptunes?
Neptunes, where'd you go? Moondogs?
No, I went to this little sushi spot here. I've got
Nobu?
I can't afford that. No, you try to get me fired, brother. No. That's some sushi spot behind me. I don't know. It's shit in there.
You've been out there for what, like 3.5 weeks now. Are you getting a good feeling on what this team can be capable of?
Yeah, I like this team. But when we got here, I wasn't sure what they had. Right, I said this was a 9-win team, and now that I've seen the two joint practices and probably about 12. Practices they've had with each other, this team could probably win 10, 11 games. I really do. Adding Vaughn Miller is going to help them, I think. I was surprised that they did sign Von Miller. But based on how Christian Parker wants to use him, 10 to 15 snaps a game, that's cool. You know, that's fine, right? You need depth. I am a little concerned about the depth at offensive and defensive lines. I do like what Brian Schottenheimer is doing by putting guys on notice. Yesterday he put Terrence Steele on notice. He changed things up with the offensive line. I do think they need to upgrade, I don't know if it's an upgrade, but get another maybe veteran player for the defensive line. Jonathan Bullard has not practiced since, I think, a third practice. So that his health concerns me because he's got a groin abdomen injury.
Mm.
And it leads me to thinking that's a sports hernia. And he has not been around. So that's concerning me a little bit. But the offense has been fantastic. I think George Pickens has been great. CeeDee Lamb has been kind of like, that concerns me a little bit. But overall, I think this is a much better team than we saw last year.
Calvin, you mentioned that you like what you're seeing with this team. Was it the Rams practice that did it for you a little bit? I mean,
yeah.
Okay. When you saw how that matchup, you said, well, maybe they match up pretty well against these guys. So that's where you kind of changed your mind a little bit, right?
Yeah, it did, because the last 2 years when they've had joint practices with the Rams have just beaten them up really good, And they made Jimmy Garoppolo and Stetson Bennett look like, Johnny Unitas out there. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And then they had Matthew Stafford out there 2 weeks ago, and they kind of held their own. Communication was pretty good. Now, as Shadi said, things were a little airy in the secondary, and that's okay. They can clean that up. But I thought they had a pretty good pass rush. The offense struggled a little bit at the start, but then on the back end of that practice, it picked it up, and they really scored a lot of points in the red zone. But, yeah, that gave me a little bit more confidence because the Rams are a title contender. They are. When your boy Aaron Donald comes back, when he's in Malibu, I'm looking at his house right now. when he starts to come out and says, I'm going to play,
Damn. Yeah,
they're title contenders. So, but I think – I'm not saying the Cowboys are title contenders, but they're definitely a playoff team. And I didn't think they were at the start of training camp.
Calvin Watkins with us here on The Fan. You mentioned you were a little surprised that they signed Von. Why were you surprised about the Von Miller signing?
I thought they were going to wait to make a move like this. I thought they were going to see what they had when they got into the season and then said, oh, man, we're struggling right here. Let's go get somebody. But I also believe that there were some other teams that were looking at Vaughn. I think Atlanta had some pass rush issues, and maybe Atlanta was going to try to grab Von Miller. So, and I think the Cowboys felt that a little bit and said, let's go get him right now, And especially because he's on the back end of training camp. He's not going to practice until we get back to Frisco and those kinds of things. But I was still a little surprised by it. And I like Von Miller. The interesting thing about Von Miller, he's a big name, right? Big name, won 2 Super Bowls, probably go to the Hall of Fame. But he's like a part-time player, He's like a closer. And so they got a closer, and that's a good thing.
Calvin, are you at the point now where you trust Guyton more than Steele?
Woo, man. That's a good one. Yes, to be honest with you, yes. And I'm a big Terrence Steele guy, right, because he's a durable guy. He hasn't missed a game in 3 years, right?
Mm.
There was 1 year where he didn't miss a snap, and he's a good guy. He's a veteran player. That's what you need, a veteran presence there. But to answer your question, yes, I trust Tyler Guyton. Guyton's had some pretty good practices. He's been feisty a little bit. Got a little elbow issue that's been bothering him a little bit, but I do trust Guyton right now. And the fact that Nate Thomas was practicing with the second team at right tackle, and Brian Schottenheimer saying that Terrence Steele has been struggling with consistency is also telling me that, hey, there could be some changes along the offensive line if things don't pick up here in the next week and a half or so.
I mean, they already had him take a pay cut this spring to stick around. He's got 3 years and 33 on the deal now. Could you see this being his final season, Terrence Steele?
Yeah, I think so, because they like this kid, Drew Shelton, who they drafted. And he's getting work on right tackle. Now he's on the left side right now because of the switch on the offensive line. But, yeah, I can see that. But there's a lot of guaranteed money there. Not a whole lot, but you know what I'm saying, 22 million. But I think a lot of people thought Terrence Steele was not going to be here in 2026, and he's still here. And that's partially because they have nobody to replace him, right? You get rid of people for two reasons, cap, and you got a replacement, right?
Yeah.
So with Steele, they say, can you take a pay cut? He's like, sure, why not? Got the pay cut because they had nobody to replace him. Now they might have replacements, so we'll see what happens in 2027.
What could CeeDee Lamb do better?
Got to catch the ball better. His catch radius has been kind of crazy. Like the first team period he had of training camp, he drops the pass, right?
Yeah.
He's got about four or five drops out here. I don't know if he's overthinking it, you know, those kinds of things. Now, when he makes plays, he makes plays, you know. But there are times where he gets a little frustrated. I don't know if that's because of the Cowboys' defense is slowing him down. But he doesn't seem as if he's playing with as much joy as George Pickens is. But I think once they get to the regular season opener, when we go to New York, I think CD will be fine. But I think right now he's just going through the motions. He did say he's not having his best camp, the camp to his standards. And that's good to hear because Jake Ferguson said something similar, right? So you want players who are saying, I want to do better. Yeah. And that's a positive thing. So we'll see what happens when he gets to New York in September.
Calvin, if they were to add to another position, what position group do you think that would be?
I would say defensive line. I really like their starters, right? Who wouldn't like their starters, right? But the backups, they got some issues. And they got pushed around a little bit by the Rams in the joint practice. They got pushed around a little bit by Seattle. Now, in the second half of that Seattle game, they got better. But it wouldn't surprise me if they said, let's get us another D tackle.
So Scott Steiner's son, Big Papa Pump, is the guy that threw the suplex yesterday.
Oh,
How about that?
He slammed Thompson.
I didn't know that.
I missed that. When I saw it, I was like, oh, wow. Someone's going to lose some money. Someone's getting fined over there.
Right on, Calvin. We'll enjoy the rest of your time there in Malibu today and in Oxnard for the rest of the week, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Keep brought us out of trouble.
We'll do our best. We'll try. There he goes, Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News here on 105.3 The Fan. I mean, I was a big NWO guy there in the late 90s, you know, college years. Scott Steiner, Rick Steiner.
Yeah.
Those are the guys.
The Steiner brothers.
Were they collegiate wrestlers? Is that their background?
I believe Rick was, for
sure. Like All-American wrestlers and stuff? I'm sorry, I don't know their
history. I mean, Scott was just an incredible personality and an incredible weightlifter.
Ripped. Wow. Golly, he was ripped.
He was just incredible TV there. The chainmail helmet that he would walk out in.
Yeah, I like
it. Just an all-time character. It's cool that his kid there is in the NFL. We're coming back with Chris Young, Rangers president of baseball operations, off of last night's bounce-back victory. What's got to happen next? We'll discuss it with CY here with you on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And joining us now, one of our favorite football guests, it's Cody Alexander, matchquarters.com. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
Come on, guys.
Hey, buddy. Big week for the Cowboys. So much going on. Can we start with Von Miller? What do you think he still has in the tank?
I think he's got a little bit in the tank. I mean, I don't think he should be looking for about 10 sacks, but I do think that he can add a little bit of juice, and he gives that veteran feel there in that kind of young room that you have in the edge room.
So do you think this should be enough, what they have in the edge room now?
I think it gives you a little bit of leeway in terms of if somebody gets hurt. I think you also have a little bit of kind of package ability on third down to kind of put a true pass rusher in there. I think if you're just asking him to rush the passer, I think that's going to be fine. I wouldn't expect him to be day in and day out, but it does give you depth and it does give you the ability on third down to really go after the quarterback.
All right, Coach, so let's say you're the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys. You've got this current personnel group in their roster. How would you be using him? Are you, like, where is he on the depth chart for you? Is he playing ahead of guys like Malachi Lawrence, a rookie, Donovan Ezeraku? Like, what would be your plan going into the season for Von Miller?
I think he gives you the ability on third down to move Rashawn Gary inside and then put him outside, and then you have that rotational piece in Malachi Lawrence as he's learning how to play in the NFL. Remember, this is an 18-week season. He's a rookie edge. I also think, too, with Ezeraku Lawrence, you can kind of rotate those guys, keep people fresh. So I think it gives you flexibility and matchup ability against some of these teams on your schedule.
How curious and excited are you just to see what Christian Parker has up his sleeve and maybe distancing himself from what we assume is a Fangio kind of defense?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see this because I think if you looked at what they did against the Seahawks, it was pretty much the greatest hits. I mean, they were running base. They were running the rotational coverages out of it. They ran man coverage on third down a few times. So I think you were seeing essentially just like the base feel for it. I'm excited to see what wrinkles he has, what he's added, what he's subtracted, and kind of putting his own spin on it.
Coach, what do you think is going to be the most copied thing that we saw last season that teams are going to start doing when we get to these games in September?
I think it's going to be the continued use of quarters on early downs, primarily trying to stay in base to protect yourself. Edges, yes, they can drop, but the ability to play quarters on the back end and really layer yourself in the middle of the field against these play-action passing offenses, I think that's going to continue to be a trend. I think we're going to see a little bit more of an uptick in base, which we saw. That's really, if you look at the first, it was almost like two drives in one in that long drive against Seattle, was that they tried to stay in base as much as they possibly could. So I think that's going to be the trend that you see in the NFL this year.
He's Cody Alexander, matchquarters.com, the Coach A on Twitter. How much stock can we put in the Cowboys defense looking better in training camp and joint practices and preseason at this point? Do you think it's safe for Cowboys fans to be confident the defense will be significantly better?
I think it does, just because you're not looking at something and you're not saying, okay, we don't look like we belong out there. I think that's the biggest thing in preseason, is not necessarily looking at, okay, what schematic things are we doing or how are we answering problems? I think it's, okay, do our backups look like they belong out there against another team? Or is the other team playing their starters, but we're kind of mixing in some different guys? Do they look like they fit? This defense, to me, looks cohesive. They look like they know what they're doing. You can see communication. I mean, that was a big argument last year, that nobody was communicating with each other, especially in the back end. You're seeing communication from linebacker to the secondary between each other. Those are all things that look to me as a positive going into this year.
I wonder your thoughts on the potential of Jayshon Barham, the rookie that they took out of Michigan, maybe being the starting Mike linebacker over Overshown. Do you think that he would be ready for that? Is that asking too much of him? Is Overshown, in your opinion, with the build, maybe not cut out to be the Mike?
Well, it's going to be interesting to me. I mean, we didn't get to see him in the preseason game. It will really – that's a trust position, and coaches aren't going to play a player if they don't trust them, especially in a highly choreographed defense like you have in Dallas under Christian Parker. So is there potential that he could start at some point this year? I do think so. But I think they're pretty settled in who they want to play early on. And I also think Overshown gives you an ability. Remember, we're not going to see everything in the preseason. It's going to be very vanilla. Like I said, they literally ran the greatest hits against Seattle. But Overshown gives you an ability to kind of move around and be kind of that fifth guy on the line or a blitzer. So it's something, too, to remember when you're looking at this as well.
Do they need to add another corner?
I think if there's the one position that you look at this, and I mean, we've talked about the size at linebacker is an issue, but I don't think the play at linebacker, I think, is the issue. The corner spot outside of Kobe Durant, Is Deron Bland going to turn into Deron Bland that everybody remembers him being from a couple years ago? Is Shamar James going to play? There's a lot of ifs. I just don't know at this point in the offseason. Siobhan Revelle, sorry. I just don't know at this point in the season you're going to find somebody that you can just plug in and play right there.
What do you think of the rookie class so far? Caleb Downs, Malachi Lawrence.
Well, I think, look, the thing that you saw in the preseason game is that you had Caleb Downs and you had Malachi Lawrence out there starting, and they played, and then they took them out about halfway through that drive. What that tells you is there's a lot of trust in that. They don't feel like they need to get a bunch of reps. I think, too, Caleb Downs is essentially going to play that Cooper DeJean role. He's going to play at nickel, and then he's going to move back and play that down safety role and let kind of Jalen Thompson and Malik Hooker kind of be that rotational piece and be able to come in. And so even with a guy like Thompson or Malik Hooker who's getting into your 10, you don't have to necessarily have those guys on the field. They keep ready as the season goes on.
Hey, Coach, we had a chance to talk to Clayton Adams at training camp, and I asked him about beating teams with that play cloud coverage. Any thoughts? You know, that seems like something that the Cowboys saw a lot, especially at the end of the season with Detroit, that cloud coverage and dealing with Pickens. Your thoughts on teams that play cloud coverage, and where do you attack them?
Yeah, so I think that's another thing that we saw last year. You know, speaking of trends defensively, I think trends offensively is going to be attacking some of these deeper zones that you're seeing. They're going to want to double somebody. I think that's where the Dak has to recognize, okay, we have the double over here. Maybe they're clouding Pickens. How can we get access to CeeDee Lamb? Because he's not going to be able to have that double. I also think, too, is hitting that hole shot, that right in there between that corner and that safety, running routes that are really attacking the backside, kind of breaking in. I think you're going to see a lot more kind of deeper digs because that linebacker is not going to be able to climb. You've got a corner that could kind of fade away if something attacks the flat area. And now you have the safety that is coming from way deep. Now he has to drive down on a receiver. So I think those are ways that people are going to attack. I also think, too, Dallas getting in a lot of 3-by-1s and forcing the issue and saying, okay, are you going to just go ahead and continue to cloud the X? We're going to mess around with you on the front side because now we know you're either in a cover two or you're going to be in quarters, and then being able to run those beaters. Because if you're going to sit in too high, that's it. And I think, again, everything comes down. Anytime you play a defense that runs too high, you have to be able to run the ball and force them into situations where they get into single coverage.
I was listening to you on the Athletic Football Podcast, I think it was last month, and you were talking about how maybe a prediction for offense this year would be taking the shots downfield to the X when you get one-on-one. Do you think the Cowboys should be more aggressive with that?
I do. We're to the point now where you kind of, yes, we live in this too-high world. They're trying to pack the middle. You know, I've had a bunch of conversations with the middle of the field is going to be packed. You have to start taking shots outside. I think the Cowboys are one of the offenses that have an advantage in that they can actually go do that. I think the framework was there for a lot of teams. If you go back and you watch the Patriots, I think that they were one of the best deep ball passing teams, and they weren't even doing it out of play action. Everybody thinks you use play action to take the shot. You use play action to open up the middle of the field. That's really where it is. But taking those shots when you get them, using formations to get predictable coverage. And look, if people are going to keep that weak safety low, whether it's through quarters or cover three, you have the isolation outside. You need to take it.
How else do you expect Clayton Adams to build on what worked last year as they get into year two with this staff?
Well, I just think it's continuously built into the run game, and not necessarily because we see this time and time again. It's where everything falls on Dak and then everything falls on CeeDee Lamb. Now you have Pickens. Okay, now you two, you three have to now get everything through the air. I think you have to have more of a complement on offense with the run game, especially now using a little bit more 12 personnel to maybe get Pickens and Lamb both isolated at the same time, or get one of them running across the middle of the field. That's only going to work if you have a run game where people feel like, hey, maybe we need to get in base right here. Let's not live in nickel against the Cowboys. And then now you change the matchups and you're changing the math for yourself on offense.
How much would a more dynamic running back help that? And would you be advocating for a significant addition here late in summer or in the trade market to get more, you know, speed and playmaking ability out of that spot?
Yeah, I really think when you have a dynamic running back, I don't think you have to have like a Jahmyr Gibbs or something like that in order for your offense to explode. But you do need to have some sort of dynamic where it's a threat. And when teams know you're going to run the ball and teams know that you can lean on the run, especially later in games, then now it becomes kind of a point of emphasis. That's when you're going to get those people, you know, moving more guys into the box and then being able to do it. I think also, too, if you can add value in the passing game, that can also help you there as well.
With the defense making so many adjustments, how long do you think it's going to take for them to kind of get in a groove, and how many weeks into the season before you start making overall judgments about what the defense is going to be?
Yeah, I would give it about a month. I mean, I think they've got to figure out where everybody fits, where everybody's going to go, what balls are going to work within the system. I think if you go back and you look at the Eagles with Cooper DeJean, he was hurt.
We got Cody Alexander here, matchquarters.com on the line. Little technical difficulties there, but I believe he was going to talk about how Cooper Jean was hurt that first month of the Eagles season in his rookie year. They had the bye. He debuted. It totally changed things.
It did.
For him. We got you back, Cody?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
We lost you on Cooper DeJean was hurt for the first month of that Eagles rookie year.
Right, and I was able to hear what you said. So, yes, exactly. Like, they were able to figure out that. They leaned more into man coverage and match coverage last year because that's what was on the roster. So, mm-hmm. I think he knows what's on the roster at the Eagles. Now he's got to figure out what he has here in the Cowboys and then adjust. Give it a month, and then we should really be able to see what this defense can be.
Cody, I wanted to circle back with you on Deron Bland, and I think there's been some other people in the media, like Ted Wynn with The Athletic, who we love. He was writing about the fit for Bland in this defense. Do you think that this is his system that he can excel in based on his skill set?
It's going to be difficult, and I think it's because of the way that he played and was asked to play under Quinn, which is you play off ball, you play a lot of where you're jumping routes, you're playing on top of receivers, you're taking a lot of aggressive moves, which can then expose you on the back end. Again, this is a defense that is highly choreographed on the back end. They all have to know what each other are doing. They have to have that communication aspect. And then you have to play sticky man coverage. You have to be on the guy all the time. There's not going to be a lot of opportunities to trap and kind of take advantage of some of these underthrown balls. You're going to have to go win those balls in a one-on-one scenario, especially if you're going to be the boundary corner. So I think it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. And can he be that player, you know, after, you know, kind of a couple of years of not really performing at that level?
Cody Alexander, the Coach A on Twitter. A couple more questions here for you. Would Camden Brown scare you as a coach against your first team defense?
Camden Brown? I guess not. I guess I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, rookie undrafted guy, couple of great catches. I got the name right, didn't I?
Yeah.
Camden Brown?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Okay, yes, no, I see. Okay, yes. The thing, though, you have to take everything with a grain of salt in the preseason because a lot of this stuff, now, can he make the roster? That'd be great. Does he turn into a great player? I don't know. But take things in the preseason, especially in some of these, in these highlight reel catches and things like that, with a grain of salt.
You're the man, Cody. Can't thank you enough. Terrific job. Go find all of his stuff, matchquarters.com. He's written 6 books. He's a must-follow on NFL Twitter, at the Coach A. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the preseason. We'll try to catch up with you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Salute. There he goes. Okay, we got the C-Note coming up next here. Cowboys news of the evening here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Calvin Watkins coming up at 4 o'clock, Dallas Morning News, live from Oxnard, where they will break camp on Friday, head to Arizona, then come on home. And here's Brian with the Krusty's Corner.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Always appreciate you playing that. One of my teams for Gang of Seven got back. I asked about what's wrong with Decker and Conklin. He goes, they're hurt. They're hurt, guys.
Yeah.
They're currently hurt?
Yeah, they're currently hurt.
That's a bummer.
So, can't, maybe I'm trying to kind of figure out what injuries they have, but that's probably why people are staying away from them right now.
I know for Jonah Williams, he's just never been able to stay healthy throughout a season.
Yeah. He's had, like, knee problems, right?
Yes, yeah.
Been a
I think an ACL.
Yeah.
Because every team needs quality offensive linemen.
Yeah.
If these guys were ready to rock and roll,
they would probably be on the team. Yeah. I was going down through Pro Football Focus, and I was going through just the offensive tackles. And, you know, they had some guys rated, like, 316. That was their overall rating, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, there are guys down in that area that have been signed. And then Conklin and Decker, I think, is 42nd overall ranked free agent, you know, from last year. And so him and Conklin are in that, you know, they're not too far away from each other. But there's some players that have been signed that are just clearly not very good. And but all of a sudden here, it makes sense. If guys are hurt, or they're worried that, like, you know, maybe they're gonna get well and then they'll put them on emergency boards and stuff like that.
Wait for a starter to get banged up, yeah. And then you step in and now you're a starter and you're not fighting for a job.
I think I said this yesterday from the ballpark. I was under anesthesia, so I might not remember this correctly.
You were on one,
legendary
man.
Show.
I was under anesthesia.
It was the opposite of Mardi Gras, Brian.
I felt like my eye was hanging out.
It felt like it was detached.
Goodness gracious.
Seriously, I felt like I was the Terminator. I could see in one eye, and I'd been hit in the other eye, and it just, like, it just didn't reach growth. But I woke up this morning, went up for a walk at 5:30 this morning, and it was just fine. Saw
amazing.
Everything.
One night of sleep can solve all the problems.
One night of sleep got it all right. But I'll ask you guys this, though, question. Are we away from trying to add defensive help? No. Did I ask you guys this yesterday? I know that Zach and I have done some work this morning together on a podcast. But are you thinking that maybe the defense is not going to get the major upgrade, that the offense is going to get the major upgrade? When we're talking about Steven and Jerry and Zach, I'll let you go first on the answer since you've already answered it for me this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I do think running back is one that they're looking at. I think, as we've talked about, offensive tackle. Now, there just might not be anybody that you can really get, so you might kind of be stuck. But I still think if linebacker, they're going to need another linebacker unless they just feel so good about Shamar James and Justin Barron.
Mm-hmm.
And corner. You know, I think they've got four corners. I think the rest of them are all guys that it's like, let's just cross our fingers and pray. Devin Moore, I don't know how available he's going to be this year, and he's a rookie. I liked him coming out. I think he's got a unique skill set, but he's a guy that's been banged up throughout his career, and he's been banged up so far at camp. Josh Butler, guy coming off of an injury. Is he your fifth guy? I think Kalen Carson might be playing himself off the roster. He needs a big game on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I still think those are two positions on defense I'd be looking at, but I do think the trade ultimately might be running back.
Dawson, do you...
I think the offensive additions are going to be budget style.
Okay.
You know, around league minimum, backup guys, the running back. I think whoever they get, most Cowboys fans will have never heard from him, but probably has a good relative athletic score. You know, so I think if there is a big move to be made, it'll still happen on defense because they still have three spots of need. I think you could say edge, linebacker, and corner.
But you there, Chieftain?
Yeah, I kind of feel like the biggest move they make would end up being the running back because they're trying to get a running back two who is actually going to see some time on the field.
Sure.
If they're getting a corner or a linebacker, it's just depth pieces in case of injury.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see both of them still happening, but the one that would actually make a difference that you would see week one on the field would be the running back and not the – you know, the last corner on the depth chart where they just need some more, they just need more bodies in there that they somewhat trust.
Dawson, a question for you as well. Do you feel like that the safety play can make up for maybe some questionable corner play?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it can help.
So does it help you when you start to think about the corners? I'm just going to lean on my safeties here and try.
Okay. From what I understand, you know, there is going to be a lot of man opportunities in a Vic Fangio defense, you know, and at that point we need guys to help us get off the field here on third down.
Sure.
And I don't think they have any level of protection from injury. and I'm really, you know, skeptical about their starters.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of those guys is among the best 50 corners in the entire league right now.
Sure.
So, like, if you want to win the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
you need good players there.
Right. No, you're not wrong about that. Willie, does the safety play maybe mask some of the concerns you have at corner?
It does, because you've got some flexibility there with guys like Caleb Downs, Jalen Thompson. They can play some corner, right? They can play in the nickel for you. So I think that will help. But also,
Thompson
just
got body slammed yesterday. You see that? Did, I'm yeah. like, God, thank God
he's
he got up.
Guy, I know. Yeah. But I also just the coverage ability of guys like Downs and Thompson to help on the back end
yeah.
with their football IQ should help as well. But still, ultimately, I mean, it depends on the defense. Sometimes you're just not going to be able to recover. If you got something dialed up and Carson slips and falls and you don't have a Jalen Milroe out there that doesn't see right. a receiver running wide open, I don't know if there's anything safety can do to help that.
Yeah, I mean, the safeties are going to be nice for the starting group that they have. The corners are good enough to where, okay, when you add it with the safeties, things should be okay. But
stable.
Like Dawson mentioned, yeah. yeah, stable. But like Dawson mentioned, if you get an injury there and you're trusting a Carson or any one of these guys mm-hmm. that's lower on the depth chart, your safeties are not solving those problems, and they will get picked on for four quarters.
So you're saying for the starting group, it's okay. For backup dude, not so much.
It's not going to be enough mm-hmm. to save those fellas.
Okay.
Yeah, if the safeties could have really covered, they would play corner where they could make twice as much money. You know, if you're talking about stopping wide receivers,
mm-hmm.
it's going to help not busting. It's going to help in the handoff stuff and the quarters coverage. Like, there is definitive value there. But when it comes down to the other team has a dog or two and we need to go cover them,
mm-hmm.
I think you're going to take the L quite a bit on how they're built right now.
All right.
Especially with this pass rush.
These are some guys that the guys I'm going to give you right now, I think are on this football team, but they got 1 foot on the football team.
Still more to prove.
Still more to prove, but I think.
Trending in the right direction.
I think they're on the right way, and I think they could take over some spots and just knock some guys completely out of this. I think Malik Davis can completely knock out a couple of guys. I think he can knock out Blue, and I think he can knock out Maffa in this thing. I think if you see once, I think they're looking for a second guy. Maybe they're going to trade for a guy. I think Malik Davis can knock out those two guys this week. Any thoughts about Malik Davis knocking out Blue or Maffa in this thing?
I think you're spot on.
He may already have.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think he did last year. The yards after contact. In that opener, that kind of tells the story to me. I think both Davis and Abanikanda had twice as many yards after contact as Jaden Blue. So I think Davis won the job last year, and we were just waiting to see if a full offseason in between your rookie year and second year could close the gap, and it's clear at this point neither have.
I think Jonathan Mingo can knock out some of these receivers.
Yeah, I mean, like Anthony Smith, MBS, absolutely.
Yep. I think
it's really him and Camden Brown. They're kind of fighting for that spot, unless they want to keep six receivers.
I agree. I think that it's going to be interesting to see. Brown has done some really, really nice things. They invested in Mingo. We'll see which way they lean. But I think if Mingo has a really good game, he could eliminate some of these receivers. I think Michael Trigg can knock out Luke Schoonmaker this weekend.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. We need that. That'd be exciting, wouldn't it?
Yep. Gosh, I'd be so fired up.
If his toe can heal up.
Yep.
That man's toe.
Well, hopefully he'll get to play in this one. We'll see. He's got a few days to get ready. But
please play.
I think if he plays, he can knock out Luke Schoonmaker. I think, believe it or not, I think Reedy Stewart can knock some people out of here if he plays well.
Hell yes. And I like to think that the Seahawks game was a bit of a wake-up call. Why is he buried down the depth chart? I think that guy's your fourth-best corner. I love the way he plays.
I think Julius Wood can knock out some people this week if he plays well.
Amen. Dude. Amen, Brian.
He's been my favorite player to watch.
He should be on the team.
I think this is the interesting one. I think Kelvin Gilliam or Tommy Dunn can knock one of these defensive tackles out.
By Jay Toia?
Yes.
And Dunn, I think, might maybe Bullard.
Yeah. I think Toia and Bullard are kind of in that mode right now.
I think Gilliam could knock Toia, and I think that I think that really Dunn's made the most of having Bullard missing time.
Yeah, I've already got Bullard as an out guy, and I've got Sam Williams here as an out guy, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So those are the guys. Those are the guys I feel like, not that need a good game, but if they have good games, I think they can solidify their position on this roster. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the Nation. We'll check in with Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News, next on The Fan.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.